Jason, the draft is upon us. We will talk about what the Bears may or may not do coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. Jason, it is draft week. You and I are sitting in our familiar perch at Hallis Hall, having just talked briefly to Ryan Poles and a little bit longer to assistant GM Jeff King. Neither of them are incentivized to tell the truth at this time of year, but the league makes them do media leading up to the draft.
Well, we know what they're doing now, though, Jeff King.
They're drafting the best football player that's available.
Jeff King, they are excited to pick at 25. They are interested in moving up. They're interested in moving down. They're interested in staying the same. They're interested in all the positions. Mm-hmm. They're interested in all the players. There are many players that they might like.
Yep.
And they're looking forward to it.
There are at least...
I don't know what follow-up questions you could have.
And there, my favorite is that there are at least 25 players that they consider first-round picks. Therefore, they will get one of the guys that they want when they draft 25th. In everybody's defense, they never say anything. They're not supposed to say anything. This is the Kabuki theater that we go through this time of year. But I think what they've said with their actions in recent months can lead a reasonable person down a very specific path into what they need, and that is somebody who can play defense, probably in order of importance, somebody who can play end, tackle, maybe offensive tackle, maybe safety, maybe corner. Am I too far off there?
No. Bears defense was super fun to watch last year. I think everyone would agree. They led the league in takeaways. That's amazing. There has since, in the post-analysis of the season from the Bears, been admissions from them of what we were saying all along, is that this defense isn't very good play-to-play. This defense constantly has bailed itself out with takeaways that you can't plan on going forward. The way that you really win on defense, the way that you be a good defense, is not takeaways. That's kind of extra. The way you are a really good defense in the NFL is you stop the run and you pressure the opposing quarterback. Bears didn't do either of those things really last year. And that, to me, Patrick, has to be the focus of their draft, especially after not really hitting, in fact, I shouldn't say not really, that's putting it softly, not hitting whatsoever the defensive line in free agency.
Yeah, the draft picks, the free agents that they signed who played defensive line are depth pieces at the absolute best. They still need, you could argue, they still need a starting defensive end opposite Montez Sweat, unless you really, really believe in Austin Booker. And, you know, they need somebody who can cycle through with Grady Jarrett and with Jervon Dexter, neither of whom at certain points last year, both of them looked pretty bad, and other times they looked okay. I like to look at it this way, Jason. I think that they need the defensive version of last year's draft. When you look at what they did on offense last year, you've got Colston Loveland, who wound up being their leading receiver. You've got Kyle Manungai, who was, I think, in the top 30 in rushing yards in the NFL last year. You had Luther Burden, who was as dynamic as anybody walking the earth at certain points during the season. I mean, those are prime contributors at important positions. You also had Ozzie Trapillo, and you had Luke Newman, who helped out considerably on the offensive line when it needed it. That is not only a good draft in terms of quality of player, but it's a good job of the breadth of it is good, too. It touched almost every position but quarterback. I think on defense, if you're looking to improve this, you can do that again this year. You can draft a defensive end first, maybe go into D-tackle, and pick up a safety, pick up a corner to push Tyreek Stevenson. Shoot, pick up a linebacker. You know, we talked to T.J. Edwards today. T.J. Edwards, you know, he knows that, you know, as he gets older, there will be questions about who's going to take his place. If they can add help kind of across that board and do it nearly as, or, you know, even remotely as well as they did last year, I think that their defense is going to be a lot better for it.
If you look at their draft picks, they're picking 25 overall, and then they're picking twice toward the end of the second round, and then you get into a third, a fourth, and 2/7. Do I have that right? I think I do.
Correct.
First and second round, you are reasonably expecting to get plug-and-play starters. out of those two rounds. Everything after that to me is pretty wide open. And the draft people will argue against that and talk about how important third and fourth and fifth round picks are. The GMs will argue with me about that. The hit rate just plunges after the second round. Yes, there are examples of guys like Eddie Jackson from the Bears a few years ago that you find in the fourth round, Tariq Cohen, guys like that. But it's hard to hit. It's hard to find Darnell Mooney's in the fifth round. Typically, you're hitting starting lineup needs in the first and second round. If, Patrick, you were to say all things are equal, you've got like in a vacuum, not looking at who got picked or whatever, where would you prioritize the needs with those first three picks? What position would you most hope, if you were the Bears, to get at 25, 57, and 60?
If an offensive tackle falls, I think you would be foolish to turn down one of, say, the best three tackles in this draft. I don't think they will. And because of that, I think you should happily take the best defensive end on your board. They will be there. The way this draft sets up, the Bears are in a really good spot. And people who know a lot more about the draft than I did have been saying this for months, which is, if you need a defensive end, 25 is great. You don't have to move. You don't have to do anything. Secondly, you know, if you take a DN first, I would look at tackle in the second round. If there's nobody there, go to defensive tackle. In a vacuum, they absolutely need one. I'd get to safety and center kind of in rounds 3 and 4. I think there are a lot of good safeties in this league who were drafted on the third day. And I think there are a lot of good centers in this league who were drafted in rounds 3 or 4. Although, you know, to hear Jeff King tell it, there aren't a lot of good centers in this draft, period. So maybe, you know, maybe he's just preparing us for the fact that they might not take one of those. In the case of the center, and it's different than these other positions we've talked about, Jason, in that center's not going to play this year. Like, you're drafting to try to set something up from the future. Garrett Bradbury, I guess, wouldn't be above getting his job stolen from him. But the plan right now is for Garrett Bradbury to be the starting center. And if you take somebody in round 4, he's probably your backup, right?
Certain positions, because of the jump mentally in what you have to do from college to the pros, there's this acclimation year as a rookie. And it's no more, it's most pronounced at quarterback, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it comes into play, like you said, on offense. If we're talking about offense, it really comes into play at tight end and at center. Mm-hmm. The other positions are more likely, wide receiver, running back, the other O-line positions, are more primed for somebody to step in and be ready to go right away. Tight end, center, quarterback, there's usually this year of getting used to the NFL and adapting to the demands mentally that come with it and the sophistication of NFL offenses, which really comes into play with Ben Johnson, because there's a lot going on even by NFL standards.
Well, and this is what good teams do, right? Like last year...
You're not desperate, right?
Yeah, last year, and the Bears, God bless them, actually did it last year with Luther Burden. They didn't need a wide receiver in the second round, and they took one, and he made himself known, and it gave them the flexibility to trade DJ Moore. This is a little different, but it's true, is that if you take a center... And then if Bradbury leaves at the end of the year when his contract's up, now you have somebody here who knows the system, knows the quarterback, knows the head coach. And if you believe in him, you can just trot him out there rather than paying $83 million for Tyler Linderbaum. And that would be an important piece. It might just be a hard sell publicly if you've got a fan base that is convinced we're so close to competing for a Super Bowl. Why would you draft somebody who doesn't help us to that end this year?
When we talk about the line of scrimmage for the Bears, it's interesting that they're in this position. Mm-hmm. That you're 5 years into the Ryan Poles era, and this isn't fixed. You've had two offensive linemen running the team mm-hmm. for 5 years. Now Ian Cunningham has left, but you have a former offensive lineman as GM, and the line of scrimmage, as much as very few people will buy jerseys of offensive linemen or defensive tackles or even defensive ends,
You weren't covering the team when Kyle Long was here. People were actually buying jerseys because they didn't have anybody else. Yeah.
It's so vital. Mm-hmm. And the Bears have not had it. And here you are in year five of Ryan Poles' administration. And you've got, what, four really big needs on the line of scrimmage, but center, left tackle, defensive tackle, and defensive end. Yeah. Maybe you count two defensive tackles among your needs. And it's not for a lack of trying. Ryan Poles has been attacking this problem with real resources for a long time. The first big free agency splurge he wanted to make, what, a month and a half into the job, 2 months into the job, was Larry Ogunjobi, and then they had to rescind the offer because of a failed physical. He had Khalil Mack when he came in, but they were in such bad shape cap-wise, and Mack was coming off a pretty gruesome foot surgery. They have thrown draft capital at Zach Pickens, defensive tackle, Jervon Dexter, defensive tackle. They have thrown major money at Dayo Odengbo, defensive end, at Drew Dahlman at center. He retires. They used major draft capital drafting Ozzie Trapillo in the second round. He's got an injury that nobody can predict what the recovery, the bounce back could or couldn't be from that. So they have tried. And I always say this about being a GM of an NFL team. It's not about getting everything right. It's about being able to see problems and correct them. Right. And some of these are not problems that are Ryan Poles' fault. It's not Ryan Poles' fault. It's not the Bears' fault that Drew Dahlman retired or Ozzie Trapillo got hurt. It is if you've thrown bad money at Odengbo and Jarrett and used high draft picks for guys that just are not difference makers in Jervon Dexter, Zach Pickens, who's not even here anymore. Those are things where you've got to be able to be clear-eyed enough to identify that a pick you made, a decision you made, isn't working out, and pivot. Have a good correction. Bears have done that at wide receiver, mm-hmm. like multiple times, where you swing big on Claypool, that doesn't work out. You decide not to pay Mooney, so he's out the door. You replenish through the draft, and now you offload DJ Moore. How do you replace?
You could go back to Allen Robinson. You could go even further back if you wanted to. Yeah. And you know, they've actually, I think, done a good job.
They've had some. My point is, they've had some mishaps at wide receiver, and they're still in a pretty good place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's like the job description to me, because it will never go perfectly. It will never go as planned. It will never go like you have it on paper. How will you respond when it doesn't? And that's the position that Ryan Poles, with the help of Jeff King, stands in going into the draft. How do I correct for things that haven't worked out on the line of scrimmage?
I want to get to a couple of actual names that we may hear on Thursday here in a bit. But tell me right now, why wouldn't you take a safety? You know, there's a, you know, these worlds I like to create. There is a world where the second and third best safety in the draft are absolutely available at 25, and that you can go, you know, take Emmanuel McNeil Warren from Toledo, for example, and plug him in at maybe the only starting job that is open on the entire team. Is that fair?
Yeah, it is open. If I was the Seahawks, I would do it. If I didn't have a bunch of other needs, I would do it. I just, that position, while there is a vacancy in the starting 22 at safety right now alongside Kobe Bryant, that position is just not that important. It's not as important as left tackle, defensive end. The financial impact of hitting a first or second round pick at one of those positions is so much bigger because of, you know, the whole concept with rookie contracts, again, most pronounced with quarterbacks, but we talk about this all the time. Rookie contracts all the way through the draft to the end of the seventh round are basically set by the CBA. Mm-hmm. And they're cheap. Even in the first round, Caleb Williams makes $10 million a year right now. Nothing.
Braxton Jones makes $5 million. Yeah. Nothing, yeah, it's compared crazy.
To the rest,
yes,
of the
right.
league.
Yes, exactly.
You will save so much more. Like, for example, the Bears, when they drafted Colston Loveland, number 10. If he is a top 10 tight end, this is kind of a shortcut to without showing my work on how I'm getting this, but they're saving like $6 million a year compared to commensurate veteran talent. If you get into defensive end, defensive tackle, offensive tackle, that savings is more like between $18 and $23 million a year,
right,
for compared to a commensurately talented veteran. So at safety, it's going to be lower because they don't really pay safeties like that. And safety is not a position where you can double invest, I don't think, because you hurt yourself with you cost yourself resources that you obviously should allocate elsewhere. Their investment at safety is Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant has to carry that, whether he's playing alongside Elijah Hicks,
right,
or fourth-round draft pick TBD.
Yeah, no, and I think that makes sense. I think if you look around the league, there aren't many that would pair a first-round pick with their biggest free agent addition of an offseason and put it at that position. Let's talk names here real quick. If we're going to get into, with safety, McNeil Warren or Dylan Thiedemann are the two that may be there, but I'm more interested in the lines. I think it's obvious that Arvell Reese, Reuben Bain, and David Bailey probably all off the board by the time the Bears draft 25th. That gets you to Miami's Akeem Mesidor, Texas A&M's Cassius Howell, Auburn's Keldrick Falk, Clemson's T.J. Parker, Mizzou's Zion Young, to name a few. All of them are flawed. And that's one of the things you and I were talking about earlier, which is how would you define a player that goes 25th overall? And I think the answer is probably not the ideal that you would want, but that doesn't mean they can't be really, really good football players. Ryan Poles looks to, the Steelers and the Ravens as teams that have done that, which just, especially on defense, take high floor, maybe lower ceiling guys. And if you've got a really good team around them, that's a wonderful scenario for them to thrive. And I think that's what's so strange about the Bears' situation now is we're just so not used to these guys stepping into a situation where they don't need to carry the team. They just need to help the group because the Bears' team has not been strong in, most of the last 26 years.
The roster hasn't been this good front to back since 2018.
Right. So, if you pick up somebody like a Cassius Howell who's got short arms, you can live with that at 25. Because he's there at 25 because he has short arms. And you don't need him to – you need him to just do his piece. Is there anybody in that group that has attracted or who you find attractive? I know you've been working on a mock draft.
If you can get a top quality offensive tackle, a left tackle, mm-hmm, at that spot, that would be my priority.
Okay.
Your fastest path to becoming a championship level team, mm-hmm, is Caleb Williams ascending.
Mm-hmm.
And that would really help facilitate him. And I would think long term at offensive tackle with Ozzie Trapillo's injury.
Mm-hmm.
Ozzie Trapillo still had plenty to prove before he got hurt, mm-hmm, although he was trending the right direction. I think you have to assume that you're not going to have him.
Okay.
Not just this year. You have to kind of plan for the worst, hope for the best. If you draft an offensive tackle and guys that could maybe be available if the Bears got a little bit lucky are Caden Proctor, Alabama, Monroe Freeling. If you could get your hands on one of those guys and now you've got a right tackle that you like in Darnell Wright and maybe, best case scenario, two left tackles that you like in this year's first round pick and a healthy Ozzie Trapillo, trade somebody.
Yeah.
Like offload someone to address a different position of need. I think one player on the other side of the ball that it feels silly to say this because the draft people know so much more about this than I do. But I feel like a player that the draft people are underrating and sleeping on and that the Bears really like is the defensive tackle from Ohio State, Caden McDonald.
You went and saw him. What grabbed you about him?
Just a force. Just the way he went through the drills was even kind of noticeable in terms of how emphatic and fast and powerful and loud he was. He seems like somebody that would be is a really, really high-end talent. I mean, Ohio State could have five. He could, if he goes in the first round, I think they'll have five first round picks this year. I mean, that is a factory for talent,
yeah,
for NFL talent right now.
And he's 21.
He would come in. Grady Jarrett's going to be here. He would come in and be learning from one of the best. Grady Jarrett had a down season last year, but what Grady Jarrett could teach you, even if he is not 100% physically or is in kind of a reduced state at this stage of his career, Grady Jarrett would be a great mentor.
In a world where there are 24 and 25-year-olds coming out in the draft, McDonald just turned 21. That's a good place to start. And like you said, somebody who could develop under him. I think Lee Hunter, the Texas Tech kid, one of the big kind of bonus baby transfers, he would be fun both as a pass rusher and as a talker, because Jason, he was my favorite person at the combine. And remember, that is very important when deciding who to mock. Is there a tackle? Do you think there's a gap between, we talk about Spencer Freneau, Caleb Lomu, the two Utah guys, Francis Maui Goa, and Monroe Freeling. That seems like Freeling seems like the most likely of those guys to fall. Is that right?
I don't know.
Be available.
I mean, I've seen him graded really, really high, so I don't know that he's going to slip to their range. And you don't want to take a guy just to take a guy.
Right.
To address a position. I do think there should be some narrowing of your menu based on needs. But if you're sitting there and you don't feel great, I think you just kind of illustrated this a few minutes ago. If you don't feel great about your options at offensive tackle, you need a defensive end just as much.
Right.
Just as much. The way that they've been trying to win defensively without a pass rush is not that different than trying to win on offense without a quarterback. That is the thing you need. If someone didn't understand football and you had to explain it to them in the simplest way possible, how do you succeed in football? It's number one, great quarterback play. 1A, great quarterback play. 1B, destroying other teams' quarterback play. And the Bears haven't had that kind of presence, that kind of impact on defense in years.
You know, the offensive tackle, I like a guy named Max Ihanachor. We've talked about him.
Do you think you pronounced that right?
I believe I did.
Okay, good job. I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, I believe that's right. He's the Arizona State kid, but he's the one who didn't play football until junior college. He was a basketball player. I believe he was born in Africa and went to California when he was a kid. That's the sort of pick that I don't think you can make at 25. Because it is a pure development idea. But maybe you go in that direction in round two if you end up with an edge rusher in round one. Maybe you look at Caleb Tiernan, the Northwestern kid, who is older and has put a lot more on tape but has a less high ceiling. Maybe that's your second-round tackle, and you plug him in there. But, yeah, like you said, the good news when you're looking at the board here is that there are three or four very specific places where they need help. And I think you could justify pivoting from one to the other in round one if the board doesn't shake out the way you want it to.
Teams could trade up or down any year. That's always possible. Teams could sell off their future. That's not really the Ryan Poles way. If anything, Ryan Poles, throughout in every aspect of player acquisition, I would say pretty conservative. Conservative in the draft capital, conservative in the salary cap. But in this case, with two second-round picks, I feel like you could justify it to yourself a little more, giving up one of those second-round picks to move up. Is there somebody that you see that you say, that guy's not making it to 25, but if the Bears packaged one of those second-round picks, it'd be worth it to move up and get blank?
I think the edge rusher class, I think the best of it is David Bailey, Arvell Reese, Reuben Bain. Now, Reuben Bain's complicated because Reuben Bain, there was a story out this week that he was involved in a car accident in Miami 2 years ago that led to some, I believe, death or hit somebody who died. I'm sure teams knew about that. I'm sure teams checked on that. But are you comfortable with him? Are you comfortable with – if you're comfortable with that and if he falls – he is a lot better, I think, than the next tier of edge rushers. I would look at that. I think that it...
So if Reuben Bain slipped into the late teens, maybe...
Mm-hmm. I'd be making calls, yes. Okay. And I do think, too, that, Caden Proctor at Alabama, I think, is polarizing. He's just a gigantic human being, and there aren't many of those walking the earth. But, you know, if you're in the camp that loves him, you know, if he's the 15th pick, and you can, you know, I think you could justify moving up for him. Again, it solves one. I think I would move up for a defensive tackle or an offensive tackle or an edge rusher and nothing else.
Okay. That's good clarity.
Yeah, and Caden Proctor, by the way, 6'7", 352.
Wouldn't you love it, even what you just said, that sentence that just came out of your mouth, wouldn't you love it if Jeff King or Ryan Poles just said something like that?
Yeah.
I would move up for an offensive tackle or a defensive end, but nothing else. At least give us that insight.
I asked Jeff King about, hey, do you think there are going to be a lot of trades? Other GMs have said there's going to be a lot of trades. He's like, I don't know. They say that every year. Like, they're not tipping their hand for anything.
That's all the time. That's every year at the draft. Jeff King, this is his first time ever having a press conference. Maybe he's had a press conference as a scout or something during a draft, but his first press conference as assistant GM, his first pre-draft press conference for sure. And it was an extra careful version of not saying anything.
I think what's important when we talk through these scenarios is kind of like what happened to the Bears last year. It's not just who do you pick first overall, or I'm sorry, with the first round, but who do you pick in round two to pair with that? And what do you do in the rest of the draft? Last year, the Bears were ready to pick Kelvin Banks 10th, and he went 9th. So they went and got Colston Loveland. They were prepared to take Travion Henderson with their first second round pick. He went right in front of them. So they took Luther Burden. And I think that it's going to be hard to judge the first overall pick by itself. I think it is where does that fit in that suite of the first three picks that you have total? And, you know, does that make for a well-rounded draft class? I think last year the verdict in the moment was that no, it didn't. You know, they wound up with a tight end, which we thought at the time they didn't really need, a wide receiver that we thought at the time they didn't really need, and then who was the third one? Shamar Turner?
Yeah.
Like that, you know, that turned out a lot better than it felt in the moment. And so I'd keep an eye not only on who do they take in day one, but what that does to weight their picks in day two.
The Bears went 11-6 last season. If we kind of zoom out here to the big picture, they went 11-6. They won a playoff game. They won the division. It's their first big step forward in years. The goal is to now make an equally big step forward into championship contention. You try to do that while losing Drew Dahlman, your starting left tackle on Ozzie Trapillo, DJ Moore, Tremaine Edmonds, Kevin Byard. I mean, three out of the four guys that made the Pro Bowl for them are gone.
Yeah, I mean, Jaquan Brisker, Nashawn Wright.
A bunch of and then you are having to make replacements that are, in some cases, very budget-friendly. How does this team get better? How do you get better from, without swinging big in free agency, after all these departures, how do you get better from 25 to 26? It has to come from two sources. It has to come from major improvement by your young players, starting obviously with Caleb Williams, but followed not too far behind by Roma Dunze and many of the guys from last year's draft class. Colston Loveland was very good as a rookie. He needs to really be great, especially when you draft a tight end. You know, there's only been seven tight ends drafted in the top 10 this century. I mean, that doesn't happen very much. That's by definition, you take a tight end in the top 10, it's considered a reach. You better be reaching for someone that's going to be an all-pro. Romo Dunze, kind of the same thing. You draft a wide receiver in the top 10, you're thinking that guy is going to be Justin Jefferson or Jamar Chase. He needs to have that kind of impact. You also need to really hit it right. You need another majorly successful draft class this year. This is what they have left themselves to or been boxed into by their financial constraints, is that the improvement, while the roster may not look any better or even equal on paper to what it was in 2025, it needs to become better through hitting on especially these first three draft picks and getting major improvement from the guys you drafted last year and the year before.
And when we talk about financial complaints or restraints, I don't like it being framed, and you didn't do this, but I don't like it when people frame it as some sort of complaint. The reason they have financial constraints is because Jonah Jackson's making $19.5 million this year. Joe Tooney's making $21.5 million. Now, did you like the fact that the offensive line kept Caleb Williams from being, you know, planted into the field like a, you know, like a bulb? Yes. Like, this is good. Like, they're paying for quality. It's when you throw Dio Odengbo's $20 million and Grady Jarrett's $18 million on top of that that you start. I mean, that's the issue. It's not wild spending. Some of it was very smart spending, but it puts you up against the cap.
It was a little concerning, though, that they were in a cap crunch this year and they haven't paid the quarterback yet.
Right.
And the way you make all that okay is by nailing your draft picks. And a great example of a team doing the unconventional rebuild has been the Lions, where they started with a highly paid quarterback. They didn't draft a quarterback. They're paying Goff a lot when they get him and more when they extend him, but they're on the rookie contract window with everybody else. So, for example, Luther Burden, what does he make? Like less than $5 million a year, I think, right?
2.4.
Okay. DJ Moore was making 25.
Right.
Like, that's where you find the savings, is if Luther Burden can become on the same level production-wise as DJ Moore for $20 million a year less, mm-hmm. that's how you navigate paying, and eventually, very fairly soon, paying the quarterback a lot of money.
Well, yeah, and you know, you swap out Tremaine Edmonds, who was making $18 million, for DeMarco Jackson, who's making $3 million. Like, if that's close, then you've got some savings there. Jason, we'll be here all week breaking down what the Bears do on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in the draft. Until then, you can follow us on social media. Check us out at the Sun-Times website, or if you live in town, buy a paper. He's Jason Leisure. I'm Pat Finley. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.